Book of Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. We'll spend some of our time here. Of course, there will be other scriptural references, but Ephesians chapter 3. I just want to make sure we're all together this morning. Here we are in one place, in one accord. The Holy Ghost of God will show up and do what he wants done. Ephesians chapter number 3. Grab your Bibles there. Make note of it. Follow with us. I will read aloud, and I ask that you would follow along and read with me from Ephesians. In your Bible, you got Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians and Colossians. But this morning, Ephesians, once again, one more time, Ephesians chapter 3, and our reading will begin at verse number 14. Right here is where the Bible says these words. Follow me. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Church, let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, which is able to make us wise unto salvation. Lord, we thank you that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Lord, it's profitable to help us, to tell us what we should not do, to help us to tell us what we should do, what we need to stop doing. Oh, dear God, guide us this morning. Lord, bless the reading of your word to our hearts, to the edification of our souls, that to a great extent, dear God, our lives might be impacted, that we might be changed to be what you intend for us to be, that we might fulfill the purpose for which you made us. Guide us, dear Father. Lord, empty me of self, cleanse me of sin, fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might teach and preach, but only what thus saith the Lord. Lord, bless in this hour. Have thine own way. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And we pray this. Amen. Let us all sing God is so good, and then we'll be seated. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. One more time. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. If you're a praying person, you know the difficulties associated with prayer. The fact of the matter is that the flesh hates prayer. The flesh hates to pray. Not only that, the mind is so easily distracted in prayer. Many of you have joined with us here at Grace Baptist Church in our commitment, in our effort to do what God has told us to do, to have someone at the altar of Grace Baptist Church every day praying. But it's a challenge. There are times when I want to pray intently and I really get serious in starting to pray, and then in a minute or two as I'm about to pray or I am in prayer, my mind begins to wander and I say to myself, how did I get way over there? How did I get so distracted? How did that happen? Well, it seems right here in the scripture that we've read this morning and a portion thereof, it seems that Paul had this same problem as well.
I don't know if you've ever come to the church house and you've been here by yourself, or maybe you and one other person. I like to get here on Sunday mornings, and my wife and I, we come to the church altar and we come to pray. And as we're praying, she may be praying, and then when she finishes praying, I'm praying. It seems like I hear things. Somebody told me that there's a ghost here at the church. Now, I know the Holy Ghost is here, because he says, where there's two or more gathered together, he's here. And I hear creaking, and I hear sounds and noises. And it seems like the cars that are driving up and down the street seem like I can hear them so much clearer. And there are other distractions. And maybe worries and things may come to mind. And I said, Lord, how did I get way out there? I came to church to pray. I came here to be alone with you, God. I came to pour out my heart. I came to make supplications, to make requests, to beg and beseech you, God, about some matters in my life, in my family, in my church, in my community, in my country, in this land. Well, how did I get way out there? I think that happened to Paul right here in Ephesians chapter number 3. It seems that Paul had this problem, because when you read verse number 1 of chapter 3, he started to pray. And then it seems like he became sidetracked. And then if you get the time to read from verses, the next 12 verses, Paul, he's describing the mysteries of the church. He started out, he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, he says, for you Gentiles. He starts to pray for one reason, but the next 12 verses he's praying and discussing another thing. It looks like Paul was, he was not distracted by the flesh, but I think maybe he was distracted by the Holy Ghost. Because when you think about the mystery of how God saves us, how God calls us, how God adopts us, and how God redeems us, and how God makes us a part of his family. When you think about that, it ought to be a reason to motivate you to pray. Yeah. To pray. Out there on our church marquee, out there on the church sign, I don't know if anybody noticed what it said this morning. I don't know if anybody noticed what was said in the scripture reference out there. Maybe you'll remember when the service has ended today. I'll not say right now what it says, but I hope you noticed it. God saves us. He redeems us. He makes us a part of his family. And then we ought to be moved to pray. Before you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue his loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how prayer gives rest to the weary. Prayer can change your night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Don't pray just because of affliction. Pray because of affection. Do you love him? So first of all, let's just dive right on into this thing here. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. But if you listen slow, I'll preach slow. Somebody say amen. Nobody wants me to preach slow? Okay then. I'll preach fast then. Amen. Well, listen fast. Listen up and listen hard. Point number one I want to give you right here. And the title of the message, because I'm getting going here. The title of the message this morning is Paul's Pattern of Prayer. Paul's Pattern. We're going to show you a pattern here. Paul's Pattern of Prayer. Luke 18:1, Jesus was teaching the disciples. He said, men ought to always pray. Always pray. Always praying. Always in the spirit of prayer. Always prayer. I'll just give you a hint. Out there on the sign it says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. You should be praying all the time. I should be praying all the time. I'm praying right now while I'm preaching. Always praying. Point number one. When we talk about Paul's pattern of prayer, here it is. We want to consider Paul's passion in prayer. Paul's pattern of prayer, it involved Paul's passion in prayer. When you pray, are you passionate in your prayer? Are you just ushering up words to God? You may as well, if that's how you are, you may as well lift up words to a gossip stone. If you're not lifting up to God, words of prayer and passion. Number one, Paul's passion in prayer. Look at verse number 14. He says, for this cause, there's a reason there. He has a reason why he's praying. He has a passion of why he's praying. He said, for this cause. You need to understand that in verse 1, Paul set out to begin praying, but he stops praying. And you see, you can see if you get a chance to read later on in verses 2 through 12, Paul starts shouting about the mysteries of the church. And then he gets back to prayer in verse number 14. He had a passion. And this is where he says, for this cause. He starts out to pray, but for verses 2 through 12, he talks about the mysteries of the church. And for that cause, after he's itemized the mysteries of the church, he says, for this cause, because of the mysteries of the church, he's saying for this reason. He said, or he could say, for the pleasure of what I have just said in verses 2 through 12, this is why I'm praying. He had a passion for his prayer. Are you passionate in prayer? Or are you just gotten so methodical, it's a routine? We're going to touch on that tonight. It's a routine. We need to have some passion in our prayer. And our passion in prayer should not be only because of affliction. It should be because of affection. We love him. Yeah. Folks are going into a Christless eternity. Folks, if the children of God are not passionate about prayer, who will be? Right. This is the passion in this prayer. What Paul is referring to are the great truths revealed in the scriptures that he wrote from Ephesians chapter number 1 and all the way down to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 13. He had a passion. In those verses, he talks about how God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are saved, you are blessed. The devil gives you a hard time, but remind yourself. Do like David did. Encourage yourself. Wait a minute. I know everything seems to be so catawampus in my life, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Sometimes driving up and down the road, we'll see these cars with these plates on the front of them, and they'll say, too blessed to be stressed. Are you blessed? Yeah, if you're saved, you're blessed. Amen. If you're saved, you are blessed of God himself. He uses his very own hand to bless you. And you're blessed. We're blessed. God has made us heirs, fellow heirs. What Jesus has, I have. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're fellow heirs along with the Jews who heard this preaching in the body of Christ, the church, that called out assembly. That ecclesia, that body of believers in the Lord Jesus, you're blessed. Right. And your blessings go beyond the physical. Your blessings go beyond the carnal. Your blessings go beyond the temporal. Your blessings are eternal. The happiest people in the world ought to be the children of God. Those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could just get a hold of that, if only the believers would believe. Because when you believe, it'll change your expectations. It'll change your dispositions. And we can shout about that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody give God a praise by saying hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can shout about that. God chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. We can shout about that. God saved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. I can shout about that. I was on my way to a devil's hell, but he reached all the way from the portals of heaven and snatched me out. He saved me, folks. I can shout about that. Hallelujah! What a savior. Amen. God saved us by his grace God that says, I'll save you, but you need to do this and that and this and that and this and that. No, no. It was by his grace. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's resources at Christ's expense. He saved us. And he made us his children. God adopted us into his family when we were without strength. In due time, the Bible says, he died for us. At the right time, he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we sinners might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's something we can shout about. When we stop to consider everything that the Lord has done for us, to save us and to change us and to keep us, to adopt us, to empower us, to enable us, it ought to motivate us to prayer. It ought to motivate, because there's so many people around us that are not in that position, that are not in that condition. Let me just speak for myself. All of my loved ones are not on their way to heaven. Are all of your loved ones on their way to heaven? Every child, every grandchild, every niece, every nephew, every uncle, every aunt, every cousin, every in-law, in my case, every outlaw? Are all your folks on their way to heaven? I can't say all of mine are, but I know God saved me, and I can shout about that. Yeah. See, I know what sinfulness looks like, because I used to walk in sin. I know what that looks like. I know of classmates that I was in elementary school with, classmates that I was in high school with, classmates that I was with in college who did not and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I know what sin looks like in the lives of others. I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad he saved me. Because when he saved me, he changed me. Before I got saved, none of y'all won't have anything to do with me. Because he saved me though. He changed me. He cleansed me. And my Bible tells me that as a new creature in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. The Bible says, behold, in other words, take a look at that. All things have become new. I don't have to walk the way I used to walk. You know the stories I used to tell the church sometimes about the young eagle? He fell out of the nest. And he began to hang out with the turkeys. For like I say, I was a turkey. I was a jive turkey. But God saved me. He changed me now. I can soar with the eagles now. I don't have to go around through the world trying to get acorns. He saved me. And that's something that I can shout about. And as soon as we get there with God, and because we're motivated to get him, this motivation should inextricably propel us to express appreciation to God. When you go to God in prayer, I hope you do, and if you don't, you need to begin with thanks. Express appreciation to God. I know there's a lot of things going on in your life. You may have an emergency right there up on you. But express appreciation. Be thankful. I found out just in the time that I've been living on planet Earth that if I quit complaining about what I don't have, what I can't do, where I can't go, and thank God for what I do have, what I can do, where I can go, he'll give me more. Parents, you know how that is with your children. The ones that are more appreciative, the fact of the matter is, you bless them more. The ones that are unappreciative, disobedient, you hold back. The Bible says, and if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven? Amen. You say, Lord, I don't have but two nickels to rub together. Well, you should be saying, Lord, I got two nickels to rub together. Perspective. Perspective. The widow went to the church with her two mites that make a farthing. She didn't have $1 million, but her heart was wholly given unto God. She left blessed. The Bible says when it comes to prayer, because our motivation to come to God should be propelled by expression of appreciation, the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call me. Call me. Call me. Call me. Guys, you know how it was when you were young and you was trying to date that pretty wife you got, and she wouldn't give you her phone number, so you gave her your phone number. And you know what you would say? Call me. Call me. 6 weeks went by. No call. Call me. God says, if you call him, he'll answer. You won't get a voicemail. You won't get a message that says, hey, this is Susie. If this is Joe, don't call me again. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I want to see some great and mighty things. So I call him. I want to see some great and mighty things in my life. I want to see some great and mighty things in my family. I want to see some great and mighty things in my church. So I call him. I call him. How about you? You want to see some great and mighty things happening? Call him. He's on the main line. He'll answer you quicker than 911. Call him. Oh, but it's something. It's like 7 or 8 billion people in the world. I know he's busy. No, he's God. He can handle you too. You may be 7,999,466,822 persons. He got you. Gabriel, hush! Michael, cut that out! My child is calling me. I want to hear what she has to say. I want to hear from her. It's been a few days since she called me. She's calling now. I want to hear what she has to say. And I want to do something about it. Call him. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Things that you hadn't even thought about, God's ready to do on your behalf. Call him. The Bible says in Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God is already proactive. You're hungry? You don't have anything in the pantry? You don't have anything in the pot? I can almost imagine, using my sanctified imagination, God in heaven stirred a big pot of goodness for you. Are they called yet, Peter? Not yet, Lord. Michael, are they called? Not yet. Wait, but the phone's ringing. I got it already cooked up for you. I got just what you need. Glad you call, because it's ready to go. Call him. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who he's got to prepare. Remember when Jesus Christ was here, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's already prepared. God's not scrambling when you call to see what he's going to do. God's not like how some of us are. Sometimes we get a phone call at home and we got that voice ID thing, and somebody call and we see the name on there. You're like, oh goodness, oh boy, here it comes. What am I going to do? God's not like that. He eagerly awaits your call. The Holy Scripture says in John chapter 14, verse 13, listen to this. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Are you asking for something that lines up with God's will? Well, you can know if it lines up with God's word. Call him and ask him. Call him and ask him. And this morning we hope to touch on also if you're calling him and you're asking him and you're not calling quite right. The Bible addresses that too. Call him and ask him. When you think about God's goodness, God's grace, God's abounding blessings, when you think about God's mercy and his never-failing faithfulness, we ought to be driven to go to God in prayer. That shouldn't be a day. That shouldn't be a moment when you're not praying. Lord, I need you. Lord, can you help me out? Lord, I need you to hold me. Lord, I need you to shelter me. Lord, I need you to protect me. Lord, I need you to guide me. Lord, I need you to save me. Lord, I know my soul is going to heaven, but I'm in a situation that's about to tear me up. Save me! So his salvation isn't just excluded to your soul going to heaven. Your life walking in this world needs to be saved. I couldn't save me on day one, and I can't keep me saved. While I'm in this world, on this journey, in this pilgrimage, walking through this world, you think it's rough for the soldiers out there walking the minefields in Afghanistan and Iraq? It is rough in this world for the child of God. We need some guidance from God. And we need to be asking him. Praying all the time. Praying while we're striving to do the will of God. I need prayer to undergird me because I cannot do this work in my strength. I can't preach the message to you this morning in my strength. No doubt I'm bound to miss something or to mess something up. I need God. You can't raise your children in America. You can't raise your children in this world to amount to anything for God on your own strength. We need to be praying, folks. And that prayer is not just uttering words, not just having a passion. We need to have a total reliance that what we're talking to the Lord about, we're trusting him and him alone. Praying. You can't walk the Christian walk in your own strength. You need the enabling power of the Holy Ghost. We need some folks at Grace Baptist Church that are Holy Ghost led. Folks getting scared. Oh, he's Holy Ghost. Oh, that's charismatic. No, that's Bible. It's the Holy Ghost leading you. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost right now? He said, I'm not sure if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost right now because I'm not jumping over the pews and knocking out windows. No, God is not the author of confusion. Talk to God. You need the enabling power of the Holy Ghost, and that only comes through abiding prayer. The fact of the matter is that we keep failing, we keep falling, we keep faltering because we're trusting in our own strength. We need to be like that boy that we sometimes call the prodigal son. We need to be like that boy when he finally came to himself and says, I need the Father. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But you need the Father. You needed him for more than just the day you got saved. You need him for more than just salvation. You need him for sanctification. You need him for separation. You need him for serving. Paul's pattern of prayer. He had a passion. And when it comes to prayer, let me give you a secret. Here's a secret to what you need to do when your mind begins to wander in prayer. Here it is now. This works all the time. This works every time. But sometimes we don't do it. Here's the secret that when the devil attacks your thoughts. Here's the secret when you're alone here at the church altar and the building begins to creak and you lose your train of thought and you get off course. Here's the secret. Listen carefully. Start over. When the devil attacks your mind and you have a mind of prayer, start over. That'll teach him to interrupt you. Because he doesn't want you to pray. And if you pray, he doesn't have a problem with you praying in the flesh. You're praying about something and you lose track of your thought. Start over. Start over. Lord, I apologize, Lord. I'm sorry. I allowed my mind to get distracted. Where was I? No, don't stop at where you were. Start back over. Because if you try to pick up from where you left off, you might miss something. Start over. You don't need a master's degree. You don't need to have graduated from the finest seminary. Just start over. He says, it's hard for me to pray. I don't pray like I hear the pastor pray. I don't pray like I hear my Sunday school teacher pray. I don't pray like the deacon pray. I don't pray like the usher. You don't need to. God didn't make you to be them. You pray like you pray. But pray. Just start over. Because when you get serious, the devil is going to attack you in the area of your faith. Pray. Pray. You need to be a person of prayer. It is only through the enabling grace of God that you made it. where you are in prayer. You didn't get you this far. Pray. You won't have a strong prayer life if you don't do it over and over again. Not only is Paul passionate in his prayer, and we need a passion for prayer. Number two, I notice Paul's posture in this prayer. We see Paul's passion in this prayer. Let's consider Paul's posture in this prayer. Now you need to understand there is a reason Paul is on his knees. He talked about bowing his knees. There's a reason he's on. You need to understand that, that bowing on a person's knee in Bible time was not the usual or the common way of praying in Paul's day. Many of us have never been there, but we've heard of it. We might have seen a videography of it, of the Jews in Jerusalem at the wall, the prayer wall. How they're there and they're standing and they're praying with their hands towards heaven. They're not kneeling. That was not the kneeling was not the usual custom of prayer in Paul's day. They would stand with their hands upturned and they would look to heaven. And they would be waiting for God to bless. Their hands are up and they're saying, Lord, these hands are weak, but you are strong. They said, Lord, my hands are open because I'm looking to you to give me. I have a need. Lord, my hands are up because I have no strength in and of myself to meet the needs that are in my life, in my family, in my church, in this world. And they're standing there waiting for God to bless them. And that was the custom. In our text here, Paul is kneeling, bowing his knees. In the Bible, Abraham, he prayed standing up. Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem when the edict came out that no one should worship but the king. The position or the posture of your body is not as important as the position or posture of your heart.
Amen.
Where is it? You remember the story of the little boy that was chastised by his mom? And she said, boy, go sit down. And he went to sit down. But do you not remember the posture and the position of his heart? The little boy says, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. What is your attitude? What is your posture in prayer? The altar call is made Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you tell yourself, I don't have to come forward. I can get right back here. That's proof that you cannot get right back there. You don't have the right position. You don't have the right posture. And God's looking at it. If you're sincere and you really mean it, God can hear a sincere prayer. If you mean right, God will give an audience to your prayer. See, the Bible says we don't know how to pray and what to pray for. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. There's some weaknesses about the way we pray. There's some inadequacies about the way that we pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, the Bible says. And I like when God butts in. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I thank God for that. When I mean my very best and I'm most sincere and passionate in my prayer, I might not get the words just right. But thank God for the filter of the Holy Ghost of God. Do you not realize that sometimes when you're sincere and you're passionate and you mean well about something and you ask God of it, do you not realize that there are times when the Holy Ghost of God will say, Lord, don't answer that prayer. Don't answer that prayer. They mean well. They're most sincere. They're passionate. But don't answer that prayer. Because if you answer that prayer, they'll quit coming to church. If you answer that prayer, they'll stop tithing. If you answer that prayer, they'll put their Bible away. You want me to give you a situation how that had happened many, countless, millions of times? Some young man, some young lady, they prayed that God would touch that other person's heart and that that person would love them and that they would get married. And they prayed for the wrong person. Young man called into the ministry. He's prayed about this young lady, and she's not what God has for her. If the Holy Spirit doesn't intervene and stop, God answers that prayer. He marries that girl, and she finds out that he's been called to the ministry. She says, I can't go there. I can't do that. I can't leave my family here in America. I can't go into the ministry to be a preacher. It's too many broke preachers. I want a life. I'm used to growing up, and my parents giving me everything I need and everything that I wanted. Now you want me to be a pastor's wife? That happens, folks. And then he's disqualified from the ministry because of his sin, partly, because he got the wrong wife. God said to this young lady, I want you to go to the mission field. And she sees a young man in the church, and he seems to be a good worker. He seems to be a good Sunday school teacher, but his heart is not right for God. They married, and she never makes it to the mission field. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is our intercessor. He takes the prayers that don't even make sense and says to God, God, Father, here's what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. They're trying to say, this is what I think I need. This is what I think I want. This is what I think I'm asking you to do. But Lord, do what you know best. You don't have to pray like anybody else. You don't have to use big words. You remember when Peter and the disciples were in the boat and a storm came out of nowhere? They were tossed and turned. The waters were tempestuous. The wind was blowing violently. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out into the water. He didn't have a long prayer, but God intervened. God, he moved the hand of God. Lord, save me! Help me! He reached out and picked him up. Sometimes you're in so much trouble, you're in such a fix, that you don't have time for long prayers. You just need to get right to the crux of the matter. Pray. The local New Testament church in America is on a great attack. Much of it is subversive. Much of it is. We're praying. We're praying. A prayer request was given a few weeks ago about a church that's in trouble. Possible church split. Good church. But the devil has gotten his hand in the mix. Folks, you better pray for Grace Baptist Church. Let's not wait until it's here and then decide we're going to pray. Be proactive in your prayers. Pray for this here, Pastor. I'm not ashamed to ask you to pray for me. I need it. It don't take but one controversy. At Grace Baptist Church. It don't take but one. That's what you're waiting for before you decide you're going to pray for the pastor? Before you pray for the church? Is that what you're waiting for? The devil hates my guts. Praise the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And God will answer. Here's why Paul is bowed. He's bowed because he wants to present himself before God in extreme humility or extreme distress. Ezra was so distressed that he bowed his knees. Daniel, when he heard that the king had written that edict that nobody would pray but unto the king, Daniel went back to his room and in extreme humility got down on his knees with his face toward Jerusalem to defy the king's command. Paul, when he got ready to leave to go to Ephesus, he got down on his knees to pray. Solomon got down on his knees when he went to go in prayer. It's a sign of submission to God in a time of extreme humility. He was saying that God was greater than he was. Do you realize God is greater than you? I mean, do you realize it? Do you not realize that the solution to your problems is in God? I mean, which one of us are in such pain or disease or in infirmity that there's a solution to our problem that we won't go get it? I mean, when we get down on our knees, we need to submit our heart to God's lordship. We need to submit to God's authority. I bow down on my knees to say to God this right here, God, I cannot. Lord, I can't pastor that church at Grace Baptist Church. I can't do it. But you can. You can. You can give me from these 66 books what I need to tell the people every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night. And the times in between, you can give me what I need to do and how I need to be so that they don't even see me, but I'm right with you. I need that. I need that. There are people that come to Grace Baptist Church, the only time they see me is on Sunday morning. I need to be right at all times. I need to pray. I bow down on my knees because there's nobody greater than God. In the book of Esther, chapter 3, Mordecai made it known that he only bowed to God. Haman didn't like it. To bow to God is a sign of intense passion, intense emotion. And when your troubles and your stress come, a good place to be is on your knees. Somebody put it this way right here. You have a hard time falling when you're walking on your knees. Getting on your knees says that you can't make it by yourself. You're admitting to God that he is superior and that in relation to him, you are inferior. Prayer is spiritual warfare. How many Christian soldiers are getting involved? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. It's been a while since you've seen God. But you're in trouble. God will be there if you call him. The Bible says God is a very present help in trouble. He'll be there. He didn't promise he'll take you out of it. Sometimes he'll be in it with you. But you're not calling. You need to call. The psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We need to pray. There needs to be a pattern of praying. Paul had one. We need one. When your back is up against the wall, you need to pray to God. He'll show up. And God will honor his promise. Are you praying? Are you praying? Get involved with what we're doing here at Grace Baptist Church. If you can't be here every day, pick a day or a couple of days where you can be at the altar. If you can't be here at all, but I believe you can, pray where you are. Pray where you are. Pray where you are. God will keep his word. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:11, he says this right here, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He's about to describe the characteristics of his word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, the hillbillies would put it this way. That dog will hunt. That dog will hunt. God's word will go out and take care of business and accomplish what he sent it to do. Take him at his word. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. God says in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. The Bible reminds us in Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. For what can man do unto me? I'm not afraid of this world. I'm trusting in God. Let bring it on. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why don't we have more Christians who are confident in God? The more confident we become in God, the more we will be bold in this world. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:28. Listen carefully. Isaiah 40:28. Has thou not known? In other words, he says, don't you know? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Here it is. We like to quote this part. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. God will have given you all that you need when you put your trust in Him so that you can do what you need to do. I notice what He says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The ball's in our court. You got, it's available, all that you need to be what you need to be. Go to God in prayer. God will hear your prayers. If your heart is not right, even if you can't get the words out just right, God will hear you. There's the Holy Ghost to intercede and intervene. So we've considered Paul's passion in prayer. We've considered Paul's posture in prayer. Now let's consider Paul's purpose in prayer. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now verse 14 is not talking about universalism. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that everybody's a child of God. Everybody was made by God. Everybody is a creation of God, but not everybody is God's child. Listen to what he says now. Let's slow it down just a little bit. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The emphasis is, he's talking about the family. Then he talks about where that family is. The family that's in heaven and the family that's in earth. Hope you got that. Not everybody's in God's family. Jesus nailed this down. He said in John 8:44, when he was talking to the crowd and when he was talking to those leadership there, the religious leaderships, he said, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He was talking to the Pharisees. So everybody's not a child of God. There are those in this world who are children of the devil. The idea of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, that's liberalistic thinking. Well, we all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. Not all of your loved ones are going to go to heaven when they die, if they don't get saved. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. There has to, a change has to have taken place. There's got to be a point when you individually became a person in Christ, a new creation. God has, I said it before, seems like this doctrine gets past many people. God has no grandchildren. Right. Not a one. Amen. I mean, I know that I got some imperfections, but I belong to God. If you don't biblically, personally know the Lord as your Savior, you're not in the family of God. We don't like to hear that. Americans don't like to hear that. We think we're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Read John chapter 3 when you get a chance to see how people who've gone to church have never gone to God. In John chapter number 3, when Jesus meets Nicodemus. Quite adept with the Old Testament scriptures, but he wasn't saved. Had the phylacteries or the writings inside of his garments, but he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him as your Savior, there's only one prayer that he will hear from you. John 9:31 talks about that. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. There was a purpose in his prayer. Do you have a purpose for praying? Paul wants us to be encouraged to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I hope you grab hold of the pattern of Paul's prayer. Consider your passion, your posture, your purpose. Consider your pattern. Remember what the Bible says. We have it on the sign out there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Church, let us all stand for prayer.